It starts off with this very high-tech syntho-sequency type thing, like this.
On NTS Movie News, the weekly wrap-up of all the things you need to know about, and some things you probably don't.
Big finish!
I got chills.
Now, just a belated acknowledgement of the passing of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, of course, the mother and daughter talents from Hollywood. Carrie Fisher, of course, best known as Princess Leia from Star Wars. Debbie Reynolds, best known for Singing in the Rain. Fisher was also, you know, it's got to be said, a noted comedian and quite an acclaimed writer. And although she'll always be known for Princess Leia, we've got to remember that she did have a whole other career, and she did some pretty remarkable supporting roles in films like The Blues Brothers and When Harry Met Sally. If you do ever want to see some of her lesser films like Vice Squad, which is the type of film that you make when you're in the middle of an addiction problem, you might want to check that out. It's pretty hard to find, though, on DVD. You might even have to raid a VHS library somewhere there out in the online world. So Vale to them. Now, of course, the death of Carrie Fisher has left Disney with a bit of a dilemma about what to do with Princess Leia's character in the next two Star Wars films, because we had The Force Awakens and we had a CG version of the young Princess Leia in Rogue One. And there was initially a wonderful storyline featuring Princess Leia in episodes 8 and episodes 9 of Star Wars. She was going to feature quite heavily in 8 and with scenes apparently already shot, but more especially with 9, where she was really going to apparently come to the fore. Now, Disney have to work out what they're going to do. Do they rewrite the story with her out of it, or do they go ahead and CG her? Do they go ahead and keep her in the film, courtesy of digital technology? Now, we saw this with Peter Cushing in Rogue One. And although we still have the uncanny valley effect when seeing that, it can still work provided you get the permissions from the estate. Provided that everything is above board, it could work. I've got to confess, although there's sort of ethical, you know, questions around this, I wouldn't mind seeing them have a go. I actually don't mind the idea of dead actors being resurrected via digital technology, provided all the permissions from their estate and from their family are granted. If you don't have consent from the family, I think it's a no-brainer. You don't do it. You can't do it just on ethical grounds. But that'd be very interesting to see. Now, China, unfortunately, has been pretty cool on the new Star Wars film Rogue One. It made a pretty hefty amount of money, about $30.6 million on its first weekend, and that's pretty weak compared to the $54 million it made for Force Awakens when it opened. But it does show that, you know, that China is a major market. Maybe they're getting a bit tired of Star Wars already, even though there were Asian stars in it, which were meant to help, you know, boost its appeal, but didn't quite work as big or as well as the previous one. Oh, Dan, someone's just walked into the studio. It's Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep has just walked into the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Well, welcome, Meryl. Please take a seat. How are you? I understand that you've got something to say to us all.
An actor's only job is to enter the lives of people who are different from us and let you feel what that feels like. And there were many, many, many powerful performances this year that did exactly that. Breathtaking, compassionate work.
Totally agree.
But there was one performance this year that stunned me. It sank its hooks in my heart.
Oh, can't wait.
Not because it was good.
No.
There was nothing good about it.
Oh.
But it was effective and it did its job.
Well, yeah.
It made its intended audience laugh and show their teeth.
Go on.
It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter.
Oh.
Someone he outranked in privilege, power, and the capacity to fight back.
Okay.
I
think we know who you're talking about.
It kind of broke my heart when I saw it. And I still can't get it out of my head because it wasn't in a movie. It was real life.
Well, okay, I think we're, I think we get the point there, Meryl. You're talking about Donald Trump, of course, who's the new president of the United States, about to be inaugurated. And, well, no question about Meryl Streep's right to say what she wants, as she's accepting a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globes. Whether it was appropriate or not is another matter. Whether it's going to serve Hollywood's interests is also another matter, because Hollywood is already seen as being part of a shrinking left in the United States. So whether she's done Hollywood's cause any good is deeply in question. I know this sounds absolutely outrageous, but I think that all of these left-leaning Hollywood actors, because not everyone was applauding that speech. If you look at the film clip carefully, some people did refrain and some people did come out afterwards and criticize her for having said that. But I think it's fair to say that, you know, if you are going to criticize a president, then how about this for an idea? Wait until the guy sits in the chair and runs the country. The guy isn't even in power yet. He's the president-elect. So before you go attacking him on a worldwide stage, give it 6 months. Okay, if the guy's a disaster after 6 months of running the country, then come out and flay the life out of him. But this whole thing about really trying to get on the anti-Trump bandwagon beforehand just sounds a little crazy, even for Hollywood. But my theory, Dan, is this, and tell me what you think of this. I actually think that that speech was the opening gambit of Meryl Streep's run for office. I certainly hope that what she's going to do over the next 4 years is announce her candidacy as a Democrat presidential candidate for the next election. That is what I'd like to see, because there is a movie in that. Meryl Streep becoming a presidential candidate, running against Donald Trump. I just think it screams to be made as a movie. All we need is for Meryl to do her part in real life to make it a reality. So let's hope that she actually steps up, puts her money where her mouth is, as Donald Trump has done, and actually runs for office, because I think it's something we'd all like to see. You're listening to The Film Hour with Jim Shembri on NTS.
Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing.
And if you come to the close of the show, Dan, I want to thank you very much. You got any big plans after the next week before we meet again? Anything big on the stream, in the stream you're going to see? Do you like my reference to the stream, though? Do you like the way I refer to it as the stream?
No, that's what everybody knows it as.
It's like, this ethereal, it's like it's everywhere now.
Streaming
online. You can watch
online.
Anything, anywhere, anytime. And I can't, the business model, how do they, for $10?
$10 a month.
$10 a month. If that, sometimes it's $9 a month. Mm. And you can see anything.
Or you can get the super HD version. I think it's only $2
more. $14. So, that's some business model they got out there. But, you know, I'm having a great time, you know, dabbling into the stream. And one of the things I'm going to be checking out in the stream is the TV adaptation of Westworld. I'm really looking forward to that. So hopefully we'll be speaking about that next week. I'm also going to check out the new Scorsese film, Silence. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks as well. To go out, here's a little bit of music from the Pixies. This is the closing song to the magnificent film Fight Club. See you next week.